Let's start recording. Paula, I've got you there. I can see you, I think. Let me just get everything set up here. Have I got the right view? I'm pretty sure I did. It looks right to me. Paula, can you hear me okay? I don't know if you can. Can you hear me and see me and everything, Paula? I can't hear you as yet. Oh no, she's coming in and out, I think. Let's see if I can. No, you're not on mute. Can you hear me and see me, Paula? Oh, there's Jackie. Beautiful.
Oh, hey, Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Loving seeing you all here. It's just on 9 a.m. in Sydney. So it looks like Paula's coming in and out. We'll just let her get her connection set up. But it looks beautiful out there in the country. All right. What I want to do just to start is I'd love to go around and just get one word on how you're feeling as you're coming into the call this morning, just where you're at energetically and emotionally at the moment. Jennifer.
Vibrating. I've just had a really good day. So
beautiful. You're bringing the high vibes to the group.
I'm bringing it all to you guys.
I'm going to soak that up. Thank you. Jackie, how about you?
I'm not zinging. I'm like maybe confused or even I'm open to hear. I'm confused with myself.
Beautiful. Thank you for your honesty, and I hope through the call we can resolve or support with some of that confusion as we start to talk it all out. Beautiful. Cheryl, where are you at as you're coming into the call?
I'm quite low vibe. I was really good yesterday, but I don't know, I didn't sleep very well and it's very early in the morning and I don't know whether I've got quite a full day, so I don't know whether I was just a bit anxious about that. I'm a little bit hormonal as well, so I was having lots of hot flushes last night, so which I know stress brings those on, so it might have been because I was a bit anxious about today. So, but I mean, I'm happy to be here as well. So I was looking forward to the call. So.
Beautiful. All right, we have a real mix of feels coming in.
Yeah, it's all on you, Jen. We're all going to... I'm going to drain you by the end.
Do it. I've got lots to give.
Now, can anyone see Paula? I can't see Paula at this stage. No. Because I can see her phone is here, but again, it's asked to start video. It's doing what happened last time where I know she's here, but I can't get her video or audio up. Paula, I'm not sure if you can hear me. If you can you just type in the chat box and let me know if you're here. For some reason, I can't get you to come up on the call. Okay, so we will go into each person who's here. We'll go into what's coming up for you, what you want support with, what you've been processing. I've got a couple of notes from women, from Michelle and Jade, who have sent me through notes of things they'd love me to talk about for them, which I'm sure you'll all be able to relate to as well. And I'll go into that, whether it ties into things that you're bringing up or I'll bring it up at the end. But I always find you're always overlapping each of the women with what's coming up. Jackie, your energy is pulling at me. Let's dive in to what is unfolding for you. Now, again, you know, this is so much of what it is to be a woman and to be in our feminine is, you know, let's bring what we're feeling. No judgment, no need to make it wrong if it's not feeling the greatest at the moment. It's all just what our experience is, and we just want to create the space to honor it, hear it out, talk it out, support ourselves through it. So what's been coming up for you either through the class that we've been working on or just in general? It feels to me like you're processing some stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely not flat. Like, I've had a great morning. You know, saw the dawn, it was beautiful. I've been for a long run, I feel good. I think what I've been processing, particularly for the last week or so, has been the concept of unconditional love, which sort of blew my mind a little bit, because I've certainly been working on loving and appreciating certain aspects of myself over the last few years, but I hadn't even thought that I could be unconditional about it. I thought, okay, I'll learn what I like about myself, and I learn what my strengths are, and I really emphasize those, but then ignore the other aspects because I don't love them. And the concept of even thinking that I could love and accept exactly who I am was just like, whoa. And then I'm like, well, how do I even do that? Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, so I think you can still love people even though you criticize certain things about them, or you don't always like everything about them, even though you do love them deeply. So all these things are going on around in my head. And then the unlearning fear was a great way to approach it as well. But that's just huge. So.
And so when you say this is bringing up confusion, just tell me a little bit more around what that feeling of confusion or that energy of confusion feels related to.
It's very much around what is unconditional love? What form does it take? Like, is it just being accepting? Yes, it might be about changing some of the self-talk, but I've been more aware of my self-talk as well. And rather than talking badly to myself, it's been more like the reel that plays in my head most days is I don't have enough support, there's too much to do, I can't get through everything. So it's not like you can't do this, it's your fault. It's not aimed at me, it's just generally unsupporting.
Mm-hmm.
So my confusion is more just like, well, how?
Mm-hmm. How to experience and feel a sense of unconditional love for yourself and for where you're at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the word and the feeling of judgment, I think, is an interesting one here, because what takes us out of unconditional love is judgment, a judgment that something isn't enough, isn't right, isn't how it should be, isn't lovable, isn't good enough, whatever it is. So I think the places where we can experience unconditional love are not so much that I'm head over heels in love with this part of myself, but it's a part of myself where I don't have some really judgmental negative story running. I'm not judging that part of myself at the moment as not being enough or as being broken or flawed in some way. So when I look at this conversation of unconditional love, one thing to think about is, and I wonder if this is the case, are there the parts of yourself that you're feeling maybe it's more difficult to practice this unconditional love? Do you feel like there are judgments on those parts of yourself at the moment? A judgment meaning a story around it being wrong or not how it should be or not right or not good enough?
Yes, there are, I think. And that's some of these blocks that we're talking about, getting through the layers of these blocks. I think some of those judgments don't play in my head, but it's just this deep sense. So it's not a self-talk thing at all. One of the beliefs that came up for me, for example, mm-hmm. is what I want doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it plays constantly in my head. It's just that's a deep foundational belief that everything is built on.
And why is that what you want doesn't matter?
I I suppose it's just because of, you know, upbringing, being brought up in a certain way, having a sense of class, just not getting what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, I mean, it's a lot of hard work, isn't it? Looking at the actions of people around you that didn't mean to put that on you, perhaps, but that's certainly how you interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I'm very much aware of it. But again, I suppose this adds to my level of confusion or how. Now that I'm aware, is that enough to start calling myself out on it? Or is there, you know, how do you start moving that block? Because it's, like I said, it's not something, a reel that plays in my head all the time. It's not part of my self-talk at all. It's just a foundational, like...
Get it. Beautiful. Okay, so the awareness is such a powerful starting point, because again, what it does is it takes something that was unconscious below the surface running us that we weren't aware of. Awareness brings it up to the surface, to the conscious mind, so we can see it, and that's how we can change it. Because we can't change it when it's kind of below the surface running us without us even knowing. So the awareness is such an incredible starting point to see it, and also to be able to catch it out when it starts. Even if we're talking about the unconditional love piece as well, when that story plays out, or not even story, but energy or perspective or way of looking at yourself, or this other key story that you've uncovered too. So the awareness is necessary as our starting point. And I feel like from there, it's looking at, well, what do I want to create instead here? If I know that this pattern I have is maybe not even mine, someone somewhere along my life installed this in me, or I internalized this and made up a story based on my experiences. I can see it now. I understand it. I have compassion for myself and the person that maybe brought this into my reality, right? And I feel compassion for the part of myself that took that on board as a truth. Wow, I can see that now. What do I want to create now from here?
Mm.
Who could I be without this? Who do I want to create myself as if I don't have to keep unconsciously creating myself as this old version? Who would I like to consciously create myself as now instead? And this is where we wake up and get back in our power, because we're not empowered when we have no power over what is running us and ruling us and how we're thinking and what is determining how we see ourselves. And this is the difficult kind of in-between part where the old programming is so ingrained and so familiar and so part of our identity. But in every moment that you have the awareness and you say, okay, now what do I want to create? What do I want to put in this place? What would be a new pattern of behavior? What would be a new way of thinking? If I was creating a new way of supporting myself, responding to myself, thinking about myself, talking to myself, perceiving myself, that wasn't based on the foundations of my old programming and fear and limitation, lack, whatever the story is, but is now based on the foundation of choosing to love myself and talk to myself in a loving way, view myself through the perspective of love, and actually build stories and belief systems and perceptions of myself that will allow me to have what I want rather than keep holding me back from what I want. And so this is sort of the stretching of our thinking, and it's a little difficult now of like, what does it mean to love myself unconditionally? What would it look like to speak to myself so lovingly in all of these situations where I'm used to not speaking to myself that way? What would it look like if I chose to believe that I am supported, that I could be supported, this could be easy for me, and that I can thrive and feel joy? For example, what's the kind of the opposite of the story I've been telling myself? And it's this conscious work then to be anchoring that in each moment when we become aware that the old story's there. Is that making sense?
It is. It is. It also means a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Like, can you give me a silver bullet? So no, I understand.
Well, yeah, but we also say, well, what's the other option?
Yeah.
I either do the work or I don't.
That's right, is to continue as it is, which is not great. And when you say if you take away that belief, who would I be? You know, I would be very free. I would, because it's a very restricting belief, and it's exciting to think that I would be free, and it's also exciting to think that things can get constantly better and better, that there doesn't have to be major challenges that I'm creating for myself. That's exciting. But then on the other flip side, in some ways I'm thinking, I enjoy challenges. So am I creating the wrong sort of challenges, or could I ask perhaps for different challenges? I don't know.
You enjoy challenges. I mean, what does a challenge give you? Sometimes challenge gives you growth. It gives you learning. It shows you what you're capable of. And we can do that in so many different ways. And what I want you to come back to and reach for, and this is for all of you as well, the moment that you found that lighter energy, when you said, I would feel free, that is exciting. Right there you clicked in. And then the mind goes, yeah, but hang on, let's make this difficult again. No, actually, in the moment that you open that little door and you feel the possibility, so this is what we do. We ask ourselves, how could this be different? What would this look like? Who would I be without this? And suddenly you feel the lightness of what's possible. We just have to stay in that. Okay, beautiful. Let me stay in that energy. What step can I take from this space? What can I create from this space now? And we default back to the old because we're used to it being hard, but it doesn't have to be. And actually, we'll talk about this when we get a little bit more into tuning into your guidance, but actually from that energy, that's the alignment of that's being in alignment with your heart and your inner wisdom and your true self. That energy you feel of lightness, freedom, excitement, relief is your sign you just come into alignment with really who you are. And that energy now can guide you. So, can you feel that?
Yeah, it's exciting when you feel it.
When you feel it.
Yeah. And then it's hard to grasp hold of, isn't it?
Only if you think about how do I grasp hold of this. Only if you think that this is something that is hard to hold on to. But if we all have the practices and the things that help us find that space of lightness, and then ask that energy, what can I create from here? What can I do from here? What's one step I could take from here? Then anything that flows from that is going to be infused with that energy. We're cracking open to some new parts of ourselves at the moment, and this is unfamiliar, and it's like, I need to know how this is going to work and how I'm going to embody this and do this. Let's just take it one step at a time. I think the fact that we've got, one, the awareness happening, and two, the beginning of some connection with some new possibilities here is a really powerful starting point. And that's worth celebrating at the moment.
Good.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. I'm sure everyone will be able to relate to that in a different way. Thank you. Does anyone have anything they feel to share on that? Any thoughts, insights, reflections from their own experience? Nothing jumping out?
No.
Beautiful. Okay, cool. Jennifer, share with me what's been coming up for you through class 2 and what you're needing support with at the moment. Just try and get my lighting working a bit better.
I really struggled when you first talk about being a goddess. Like, I was just like, what do you mean being a goddess? And those words of like being cherished and nourished, I was like, those words are just too much for me to handle. But then I really got into it, and I recognized that I was being called to know those words and feel those words because I didn't believe I deserved it. So, but this week I've really just sat with it. I kind of journal with it, don't dance, try to move through it. And I feel like I can start believing it now. So I thought that was a big step forward for me. Just feel like, hey, maybe I do deserve this now. And that was a big thing for me. I don't have any specific questions for you today. For me, I know it's more of the practice now and recognizing when I get drawn out to how to come back. Mm-hmm. And so Jackie's comments were fantastic to hear, because it was just the same of, okay, I have this awareness now of when I'm going this way. Now I need to practice to get it back. Maybe that would be my question. Have you got ideas or suggestions for practices when I start going this way? Because if I'm at work or something like that, I can't just start dancing around to shift my energy or anything like that. So I don't know if you have any recommendations for things we could practice.
Beautiful question. Thank you. You're right. There is a whole range of practices of things you can bring on that are based on kind of where you are, because sometimes if you're at home and you know you can put on music or light some candles or have a bath, it does make everything a lot easier. I've got a question from Jade that this actually ties in really to what you were saying. But something that I have found useful is sometimes just quickly writing down what's going on. So if I used to work in like a co-working office space, so sometimes things would come up for me when I was around a bunch of people, even when I was working for myself. And sometimes I would just write down on my notepad, and no one would even need to know, because it looked like I was just writing at work, like what's coming up for me right now? What's going on? What am I feeling? And it was just a little moment just to put down on paper and acknowledge, oh, there's a train of thinking. I've just been triggered. Something's going on. And actually just sort of bringing it out of the mind, because when it's in the mind, it will swirl around and we'll feel this stuff and it'll be a bit murky. But maybe just jotting down on paper a couple of things that are going on for you. And then from there, the questions might be, sometimes actually you'll find relief just in acknowledging it and being like, oh, okay, that's what it is. I understand why I'm feeling this way now. Or it might be, what do I need right now? I need to just go take a little walk around the block to just breathe because I got really triggered, or I need to just go take a cup of tea and sit for 5 minutes because, you know, something's going on for me. Or in that moment as well, beyond what I need, I try to then reach for a different perspective. So what would my heart say to me about this? What is my intuition telling me about this? What would my loving inner wisdom say to me right now about this situation? Okay. And what I find that allows us to do is consciously reach for, we might not always find it, but at least have the intention to reach for some loving, supportive wisdom around what's going on for us in that moment. And sometimes just a little mini journaling around that has helped me just get a little bit of clarity in a very short period of time around what's going on and have an insight or get some support on it from myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm bringing this up because Jade's question was really interesting here. She, I don't feel to go into that yet. Sorry. I was going to go into it. And I'm like, no, I'll come back to it later. But I actually think it's such a beautiful opportunity in those moments where some train of thinking that's based on fear, limitation, or programming is there. It is an opportunity to say, there is a different perspective I can get. There is some different guidance I can receive here. Let me consciously reach for it and ask it what it would say to me.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And as I said on the Facebook, like, I found your live really helpful to tie in to everything this week. Mm-hmm. So the past couple of days, I've been practicing that as well, of like, okay, what is it my heart needs? And this is not the answer, but I think just having that awareness again, I don't know what it needs, but hey, at least I'm acknowledging it this time.
Yeah. And we're building the relationship. So you build the relationship with your heart and your intuition through believing that it's there, through consciously choosing to connect with it. You might not always hear it right away, but through you're almost building a neural pathway now, a connection in your brain between you and your heart, or you and your intuition, through every time you ask for its perspective. And you wait, and that guidance might come back to you later. you know, you might not get it right in that moment. Is there anything else around that though? Let me just see. Is there anything else I can offer you around that? What else do you feel like you're needing when this stuff is coming up and you're sort of in just a moment of it around people?
No, I think honestly, it's for me putting it into practice now. Now that I feel like I have this awareness, so I can't say that I have anything specific to ask or needing right now. I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
But it was really huge to take that next step forward to have the awareness. And I still feel like, hey, okay, I'm not there, but just having that awareness, like you just said, it's building the steps. And I've had to, I like to just plow through and get there and not feel the things. So I think the ability to just stop and be like, okay, I can see what's going on. I don't need to have that masculine energy of, you know, plow straight through, and then just working through and trying to hear my heart more. I know it's trying to call me.
So. Yeah, you've actually just brought up a really beautiful point. And this in itself is a powerful practice that can shift things. If, say, we're moving through life, we get triggered by someone, yeah, a certain train of thought happens, whatever goes on. If our typical tendency is either to disassociate from that, disconnect from that, avoid that, plow on through, react even, sometimes it's just we react, then a really powerful practice instead is a deep breath and the awareness in yourself of, oh, wow, I just got triggered. Oh, wow, an emotion just got activated for me. Oh, wow, that just triggered my story around not being good enough. Oh, that hurt my heart. Oh, I got a tightness in my belly around that. Now, that's an incredible awareness as a woman, that where your body says, oh, there's something here. And if is in just in that moment, you can be like, okay, that something got triggered. Let me notice it. I'm aware of it. Let me breathe into it and feel it. I might only have time to take a couple of deep breaths and then say to myself, all right, we're going to have to revisit this because there's something in here for you. And then maybe later that day when you have some time, you sit back down and you might come back into that feeling or that experience and say, interesting, what was going on for me there? What was that trying to show me? But I think in the moment, the acknowledgement of what's been activated is really powerful versus the typical kind of like, I'm either just going to project onto that person who activated it in me, or I'm just going to try to suppress that and get back on with my day.
Completely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Completely right. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Beautiful. Does anyone have anything to share on that? Anything that is resonating with them? It's a really beautiful point. Actually, let me just quickly. I went to this event last night, which was a sensual women's circle in Bondi. And it really showed me actually what it means to live as a goddess, because I don't think I've ever gone so deep into this work as I did last night. This woman facilitated this circle where there was, you know, candlelight and incense and 12 women sitting around, talking about how they were feeling, being vulnerable. There was dancing around the group. There was breast massage. We all had to lie down and use this oil and massage our breasts. There was talk of using jade eggs, which is a crystal that you put inside you to connect in with your yoni and your sexual energy. There was a massage where we were in a group of three and each woman got to lie down and be massaged by another two women and ask for what she wanted and have those women to massage her. There was this sensuality practice of having a strawberry and a piece of chocolate and actually savoring each of those items so deeply like you'd never seen them before, and having to pick up the strawberry and look at it and be present to it and touch it and smell it and run it over your lips and then bite it slowly. And this whole thing was so sensual. And I came out of it just feeling so full and so turned on as a woman in my own body and my own sensuality. And it was a beautiful thing to be a part of and to be guided through, but it just reminded me the power of these times where we're using all of our senses, where we are creating these really delicious sacred spaces for ourselves, maybe with beautiful music and candles and some clothing we feel relaxed in, and we maybe give ourselves a body massage, or we give ourselves a breast massage. It's something I do most days. It's a really beautiful thing to open up the heart, actually. Or we dance to a song, or we talk out what we're feeling and hold space for ourselves. And yeah, it was just a really beautiful example for me of the ways that we can connect with that energy. And even, you know, if any of you women ever come across women's circles happening in your local community, I underestimated just how powerful they are. It was a really, really beautiful experience. You know, even the next time you eat a meal, if you can just slow that whole thing down and savor the pleasure of every single bite of the food, it's like life becomes, you realize you can just be feeling this pleasure all the time through everything. It was really quite amazing, actually. So that gave me an example of kind of for myself, oh, this is what goddess energy is. You know, really, really ravished. It was quite beautiful. Cheryl, I know you have to jump off soon, so let's come to you. What did class two bring up for you, and what are you needing support with?
I don't feel like there's anything that I really need support with, although I can say that I've had a really insightful and great couple of weeks. I found this lesson really great. I seem to relax into it a lot more as well. I took on board your suggestions of approaching it differently rather than like an assignment, and I got a lot more out of it, which was pleasing to say. What I really loved was your description of the heart with all the programming layers on top, and I really used that for the last 2 weeks. And when I've been meditating and things, I've actually visualized the layers on top and then peeling off each layer. And as I peeled off each layer, I gave myself a positive affirmation. So I identified the really key points of my self-talk, the really negative self-talk about not being worthy enough or good enough or not perfect, etc. And then I created basically just a little affirmation about that. So what I did was I had the layer, and then I would think about that particular self-talk, and then I'd say the affirmation and then visually peel it off. And then I got to the heart at the bottom, and then you described it as a shining diamond. And then I'd sit with that and just imagine lots of white light and energy and et cetera radiating into it. And I found it extremely powerful. So it was really good. And I've really tried to embrace the feminine energy, not to the extent of your goddess circle last night, I have to say, but I have tried to do some dancing and things.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, but it's been really great. I felt really good yesterday. I really felt positive. I've done lots of yin yoga, which I do anyway, and the place that I go to, we do like a yin yoga meditation, and I've been really getting a lot out of that as well. I also had an energy clearing done on my house in the last 2 weeks. It was in the first week, and there's a noticeable difference in the atmosphere around the house. With talking with my husband, is very verbally is very strong, like very masculine, very quite aggressive, very alpha male. He did very successful in career, but he got there because he's sort of that type of person, if you like, and which is not a bad thing. It's just, you know, his personality, whereas I'm quite sensitive, etc. So we clash. And one of the big fears that I've always had right throughout our relationship is that I get quite nervous about speaking up to him because he sort of gets louder and louder and louder when he believes in something. And many times I've sort of tried to point it out to him that, you know, this is how he communicates. And we've actually had counselling and everything about it, and he sort of tries, but he just falls back into that aggressive pattern, which is just his nature, or, you know, the way he communicates. And if you listen to his family, they're sort of all the same. So he grew up in that environment. But what I did realise was where my fear comes from of being nervous about speaking up. So what I would do is I'd just not speak up, I'd just suppress it. And I actually realised my father was not to the extent that my husband is, but my father was different. He there was a lot of, he would have anger outbursts, and he would actually lash out at my mother physically. So I remembered like laying in bed as a child and willing, like hearing it and willing my mother to stop talking so that my father would not lash out and hit her, because then I'd hear him hit her, which he would, it's not a case that he would get drunk and come home and then hit her. He would like do it in anger, you know, and I would be, and he'd get louder and louder as well. He didn't do it to me, but he'd do it to mum. And oh God, I'm getting quite emotional now. It's quite,
this funny. Is big. I can feel
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've got all gone all tingling. So I just remember that as like a young child, just, you know, when I was 5 and 6, just thinking, oh mum, please be quiet. You know, please be quiet. So I didn't have to hear the next thing. So I'm sure that's where it's coming from. You know, I have this. And the other thing I realized is, like, my mother is now, my parents are divorced. They divorced when I was a teenager, but she's now gone into another relationship where he's not physically aggressive or physically violent, but he's terribly controlling and verbally aggressive. He's a Vietnam vet from the US Marines, and he's just never, ever dealt with, you know, the traumas that he's had from that, and he drinks a lot, etc. And even though I'm getting that that's his journey, etc. But my point is, with my mother, what triggers me is that she is just still so so much of a victim. And when I listen to her and she sort of is complaining, she won't say anything to him, she won't speak up. And when I listen to her, I get so triggered, and I think I realize that I'm actually getting triggered because I can see a pattern forming with me, and it's like looking in a mirror of what's my future if I don't deal with it. Mm. And I really realized that this last 2 weeks, and it was really quite powerful. So, and I mean, I want to be there to support my mother at the same time. It's I really just get off the phone as quickly as possible sometimes and feel very guilty. What else?
Let's not skip over that. Let's just go into this for a minute. You're exactly right. And I was going to say this to you, that what is being triggered through what you're witnessing in your mum is what it's showing you about you, and your frustration at her and how she's being and wanting her to be different is actually your frustration at yourself. We wish they would be different. I mean, we realize, no, we want ourselves to be different because we can see in ourselves what's happening to them, right? Now, this is a really big experience for you. I don't want to skip over it. It's like, let's
move on. Sure, okay. Yeah.
There's a couple of things I'm picking up on. I really feel to say, like, this is actually not your story and your journey, it's your mum's. And you, the child, came into that. This is her patterning. This is her life experience. This is what she's manifested as part of her upbringing. But you, as a precious, innocent child, came into this experience, and it's now been absorbed as part of now your identity and your experience. And it's actually not. I'm really feeling this. This is very much, you know, as difficult that is your mother's journey and story and path to walk, and it's actually not yours. And I almost feel like you've taken it on as yours, but it's not. Now, there's this little inner child, and we talked about this, I think, in one of the classes, around really looking at what you as a child needed to feel safe. I mean, you would have been terrified in a lot of ways, and there would have been a lot of big emotions arising, and I still feel like that child needs some nurturing through what she would have been feeling in that experience. But they're almost, I don't know what I'm feeling here around some kind of, maybe it is a cord cutting, maybe it is a releasing of the need to be taking on board your mother's patterning and actually realizing you can be free of this, and this doesn't have to be your story and journey too. And now again, we need to create a new possibility because you haven't had it modeled of what it looks like to be a fully self-expressed woman and have that be safe. At the moment, that's really unknown. But we almost need to now create that from you at this point, being like, I now want to learn what this would look like for me to feel safe, to be expressed, for me to be able to speak up, for me to be able to communicate in the way I want without fear of a repercussion. We need to now set this up as a whole new possibility for you and what that would look like for you as a woman. Is what I'm kind of feeling as some starting points. Okay. And that was all I was kind of getting. How are you feeling about that?
No, fine. And the other thing I recognized was that when the question about, you know, what did you feel that you needed as a child? And from when all that sort of came together, but it was the really strong role models. You know, I didn't have the role models. My mother was always sort of a victim. I hate that word, but, you know, that type of feeling. And my father that was just sort of the start of it. He went on to do some many other things, which I've never really dealt with. But my father sort of was quite aggressive, and, you know, in his mind it was okay to lash out and hit and have affairs and do all sorts of things. So there was no sort of boundary around that, you know, that is a role model. And then for my mother, she accepted all of that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she felt she had no choice. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I had strong,
even though I was
very much loved and wanted, there's no question about that. But I just don't feel like I actually had the role models that I needed.
Yes.
You know, even about going to school, you know, my father was like, oh, if you don't want to go, just don't go. You know.
So now we just need to create it. And this is the thing, like, we can continue the story of what's brought you are to here, and I don't want to discount it because it's a very significant story that needs to be honored. But what I keep feeling is it's almost like if I was to say, I want to be a millionaire, but I didn't grow up with any parents who made that much money, so I have no idea how to do it, which is totally, a lot of us didn't grow up with unconditional love and all those things. And you're right, we didn't have the role models, and you didn't have the role models of the type of man and feminine you really wanted or that you want to be. So it's like, okay, cool. Well, then how do we create that? Is it about me putting myself around women who are embodying this? Is it about me learning about what it means to be a fully self-expressed, empowered woman? Is it about me journaling, like literally creatively thinking and coming up with it? Like almost using my imagination. Like if I was just to use that example of money, I'm like, cool, let me write out a description of what it would look like to be living like this, even though I've never seen it before, I've never experienced it before, I have no idea what that would be like. I have this beautiful imagination that could write up a description of what it would look like to live that way.
Mm.
And that becomes my new focus now is, all right, what would this look like, feel like? How would I be showing up? How would I be handling different situations if I was a woman in my power who was fully self-expressed and was speaking my truth? That's my feeling at the moment, is we need to both nurture the inner child that's still wounded there, but also, this sort of seems to be the theme today, really consciously create a brand new possibility that is completely different to your past and believe in your ability to do that.
Just further to that, this week I noticed Martin, my husband, said something, and I found myself, I wasn't even aware I was saying it. I actually was responding to him saying, don't talk to me like that, or responding saying it wasn't good enough or whatever, and putting forward what I wanted. And I wasn't even aware that I was speaking it. And then after I said it, I was just sitting on the lounge going, oh, right, okay. And I was just I was just a bit shocked, I think, that I'd done it. And then that was, it felt really great. That was like a great awareness that I had actually taken that step, because normally what I would do is just seethe on it call him the C word under my breath and walk away, you know, just in anger. And then, of course, that builds up and up and up, and to last year, to the point that I just about had a breakdown, you know, like it was quite good.
This makes me think of an exercise even that you could do, which is something I've often done, which I draw a line down the page, and on one side, I do two columns. On one side is old way and on the other side is new way. And this is a really good example of it. Okay, so the trigger is he says something. Old way is I suppress what I'm feeling. I don't speak up. I sit on it. I seethe on it and I get angry underneath, whatever, because I'm too scared to say something. Okay, old way, and I know where that's going to take me and leaves me in my disempowered state.
Mm-hmm.
New way, I stand up for myself and I say, don't speak to me like that. And whatever else goes on in there. So it actually is a really good exercise if you're running old patterns to flip it and be like, okay, what is the new way of handling this now? And so each time this opportunity presents, cool, am I going to have an unconscious reaction and go into my old way of doing it? And I might. Or cool, here's my chance to be like, no, as the empowered woman, I'm going to say, you can't speak to me like that. Not okay. whatever it is. And then we just keep practicing and anchoring in that new pattern of behavior. So well done. Well done for that.
Great.
Beautiful. Thank you, Cheryl. Oh, this is, we're unpacking some big stuff. Thank you for your honesty and vulnerability with that. That was awesome.
Thanks. So I might zip off. So bye, Paula. Bye, Carol. Nice to see you.
Bye.
So I've got to go. Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, beautiful.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. You can see the sun's coming in, making me a bit glary, but we'll handle that. Carol, my love, what's come up for you through this class and what are you needing support with?
Well, I've really been stuck in a bit of circumstances this week. So my thinking is really all over the place and I feel like I'm being kind of just affected by other people's emotions and thoughts, and then I've got my own going on. So, but one thing that did come up for me in the actual class work was the definition of unconditional love. I'm like, really? I don't even know what this really means, despite doing lots of work. I'm like, I'm going to have to Google this because, like, this is so, the concept is really actually quite foreign to me. So despite hearing it, I'm like, what is unconditional love? And then it's just, you know, bring it down to simply not needing to do anything, be anything, to feel love. And I'm like, this seems a bit simple.
And we're like, kind of more complicated. Surely I have to do something to earn that love, right?
yeah, that's right. I just need some more information. I've got to go Google. So I think probably because I've just complicated certain parts of my life that I've to feel worthy or whatever, that that making it simple just doesn't seem right.
What opens up for you in this idea of it being so simple? Like, what shift does that create for you?
It definitely feels lighter and more freeing. But it's almost, I don't know, it kind of feels like what there has to be more, like there needs to be, there needs to be a goal,
why does it feel like it has to be more complicated or there has to be more to it?
I think partly sometimes it's because that's kind of a little bit of the world we live in, where there's expectations and you need to be able to connect sometimes with people, you need to be doing something or achieving something. So maybe, probably because I just have not had that, you know, experience in the past of connecting on other things. So maybe it just feels a bit weird. There will be nothing to talk about.
Interesting. You know what else is interesting? I might need to close those blinds. It's getting so sunny in here. What we realize is if we're constantly being driven by, so if what is constantly motivating us is getting love, getting connection, getting approval, getting belonging, getting praise, whatever it is, because we're actually always being driven by that without realizing. Now, if that's already a given, if we've already got all of that, and if we're already whole, complete, loved enough, then we start to go, well, what's motivating me? What's driving me? Why would I do anything? And then the game shifts, because then it's like, there's not this agenda behind everything now. It's now just like, what do I feel inspired to do? What do I feel moved to do? You still want to connect with people. You still want to do work in the world. You still want to be in relationship. But the intention and motivation behind it completely changes. How is that different? Imagine coming from a place where you are already completely loved, whole, perfect, complete, not needing anything. There's no need to get any love, anything, any approval, connection, anything, because it's all done. It's given. What then is the motivator or the inspirer or the reason behind doing things that you might want to do?
See, this is how much I just don't get it, because
Just keep sitting with it. What would be the reason that you might do anything if it wasn't to get love?
I guess to feel well purposeful in my life.
Mm-hmm.
To share love with others more, and
mm-hmm.
Help me out, somebody.
Well, I'll open up for any feedback in a second. That also actually goes into what I said on my live recently, which is it's purely now just based on pleasure and what feels good. Like literally, if we are here just to do what feels good, just to connect with people because we love connecting with them, to express whatever work in the world because it makes us happy, because we love it, that becomes the driving force of life then, particularly as a woman, becomes what's pleasurable to me, what brings me joy, what makes me happy. Life becomes this playground now just to like experience beauty and whatever the key things are you're wanting to feel. This will be a paradigm shift for you. Like, this will be like, hang on, life is now going to be really, really different if this is how I live. It's like, so all those things I've been doing my whole life to get love, if I didn't have to do them, well, one, that frees up a hell of a lot of space.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy.
And two, well, I'm going to start to make some really different choices about how I spend my time, aren't I?
Yeah. It's exciting, isn't it, really?
How much more time would you have on your hands if you didn't have to be getting that love all the time?
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
And this is when we become somewhat, not, I don't like the word selfish, but self-focused, really tuned in to what's moving through me in this moment. What do I feel inspired to do? Where's my joy at? What would make me happy? What would feel good in my body right now? And that becomes the purpose.
Yeah.
What's coming through for anyone else? What insights are you getting around if the motivator and driver behind everything wasn't to get love and all these different forms of love? What do you feel would be the reason behind doing things then?
I've sort of been contemplating that for a little while as well, and I have been thinking, okay, if the purpose in life is just to have to give yourself as much of a broad experience as possible. And in the last couple of years in my personal life, I have been more self-focused because I've been doing whatever I want to do on the weekends, and I'm not going to feel obliged to do this or that, but I can't get it to relate to 9 to 5. I can't get it to relate to work, because if we're supposed to be in, our purpose is to enjoy what we do, then why am I doing what I do? You know?
Can I just say, yes, this is really big for you, Jackie, but this is where we really start to go, hang on a second. Why am I doing what I'm doing?
Yes.
And why am I doing it in the way that I'm doing it?
Yeah.
And not making ourselves wrong for that, but being like, interesting. And again, similar to what I said to Carol, like this is a paradigm shift for you. And this is definitely possible, but what would it look like to have work be pleasurable and enjoyable and be driven by some really different things and be completely restructured so that it's actually like this deeply flowing, fulfilling, whatever the qualities are you're wanting to feel, aspect of my life? And I can feel your mind like really being like, it's not possible to take all this beautiful work and put it
into what I was thinking.
Like, yeah, it doesn't fit. It's not going to work. Yeah.
Well, I'm also thinking I've never seen it demonstrated in a way that I think I would love. Like, I can't find an example of someone still, because I've taken a long time to get where I've gotten to, and all the skills that I've got are worthy, and I don't just want to ditch it all. but how do I do it in a different way? And I don't see anyone doing it in a different way. So it means I have to create a different way. And I'm like, well, I just don't know even where to start.
Give me a couple of, I know I'm jumping over here, but I just want to go into this.
Sorry, Carol. Really
interesting. No, great. Great.
Just give me a couple of words, even three words, that would describe how you want it to feel that's different to how it's feeling now.
I don't know. That's hard.
It's hard, but you can do it.
Three words, how I'd like it to feel. I'd like it to be flowing. I'd like it to be fulfilling. And in it being fulfilling, I suppose I want to feel appreciated.
Okay, let's start there. Flowing, fulfilling, and feeling appreciated. This is the starting point. And I would journal on this. And we can flesh this out more in future calls. Okay, first of all, flowing, that's almost like a state that you bring, and that's also a way that you run your day and run your work. So I'd begin journaling around little ways that you can bring more flow, the way you can do things in a more flowing way, the more you can flow with the day and flow with your feeling. So exploring that. Fulfilling, I would look at what actually I would do a column, two columns, what fulfills you in your work and what doesn't, what creates the feelings of fulfillment and what doesn't. And then we can assess a little bit and get some clarity around interesting. So these are the things that are creating fulfillment for me. How do I find ways to do more of that? These are the things that aren't fulfilling me. Is there any way I can delegate this, let go of this, stop doing this? How do I clear off some of those things that just aren't fulfilling me? And feeling appreciated is both something that you can create within yourself and can obviously come from other people too. But it can begin with you, which is what does it mean to appreciate myself for what I'm doing? Really appreciate what I'm contributing, really appreciate the effort I put in today. Sort of ties into some self-acknowledgement as well. You know, we feel appreciated and we're acknowledged for what we did. And so sometimes we need to come into more of a self-acknowledgement practice where maybe at the end of every day, you sit down and really acknowledge yourself for what you created, how you helped someone, what you achieved, whatever it is. So just as a really simple, I don't want to go too deep into it now, as a really simple starting point, that's where I begin.
Brilliant.
Beautiful. Thank you. Continue, Carol, my love.
Oh, man. Okay.
What's coming up for you right now?
I actually, before I got on the call, I was kind of just getting, my mum contacted me and we've had a bit of a roller coaster again this week in regards to where she's been temporarily staying and trying to make a decision in regards to whether it's enough care for her and how it fits into her life. And I kind of felt a bit like, here we go again, there's another day of me trying to kind of hold my mum up a little bit. And then I actually... I messaged her and I said, Mama, I need to go on a call. I'll give you a call at 10 o'clock. And she was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, sort of thing like that. I said, no, it's okay, Mum. I'll give you a ring at 10 o'clock. And in the meantime, after I did that, she must have had a bit of a think, and she messaged me and she said, oh, well, I'm going to go to this movie at the place this afternoon. And I was like, oh my God, I actually just set a boundary and my mum's just basically taking on like, all right, I've had a vent, you know, I've done that now. And now I need to work it out for myself.
Oh, yeah.
I just was like, oh my God.
That's how you empower other people. Like,
I know.
You disempower other people when we don't believe they can figure it out for themselves, and we have to take on board their problems and figure it out for them. You just empowered both her, yourself and her in that moment, in that boundary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. And I think to myself, I'm like, I always say to myself, I feel like I need space to work stuff out for myself and to journal and all the rest of it. And it's like, well, why wouldn't someone else, even someone who's older that, you know, is having some memory problems and all the rest of it, why wouldn't someone else need that as well? So, yeah, I actually feel a bit of a relief in being able to let her cope with it. So anyway, that was what was going on just in that moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there any other places in your life where that approach would be really supportive for both you and anyone else in your life?
Yeah, I think probably at work as well. Just a lot of people, you know, trying to express what, you know, venting and things like that. And because I do work in an open space, I have found myself going to the toilet a lot, just like getting away from people. Yeah. This is like, okay, I'm here to listen, but I'm now here to go to let it brush off of me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is that, and it's part of my human design, but I really take on other people's emotions quite deeply. So I need to put in those boundaries a lot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just end up taking their stuff on and then forgetting about my own, because I feel like when circumstances are happening to me, I kind of just lose the plot in terms of coming back to me. So I lose, you know, I tend to like get off of the coursework and just be overrun by what's happening in the week. And before you know it, I come back to reflect on things. I'm like, oh, well, hang on a minute, I haven't really done any of that work. So then I have to try and refocus a little. So I guess I'm easily distracted in that way sometimes. Yeah.
What would you have space for in your life, and what would you be putting your energy into if you no longer had to give energy to other people's emotions and problems?
I think I would probably, I'd definitely be doing a lot more like nature walks and yeah, a bit more movement, I think. That's probably where I'd start.
And it's a little bit of and it's sort of just part of the programming of what I suppose to some extent is familiar, but there's a, I don't know, doing this actually does allow you to avoid prioritizing yourself and really nurturing and nourishing yourself in the way you want to and in the way that you deserve. And I really just feel like if these boundaries were in place everywhere, like, not my problem, not my stuff, not interested, you go sort it out yourself, like, not my issue. Yeah. I just feel like this space would open up for you to finally give your energy to yourself in the way that you really want. I know what you want to create in the world through your work, through nurturing and nourishing yourself, through your self-care, to your relationship, whatever's important to you. Like, this is, boundaries have really, I feel like this is a key area of focus for you at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think that perhaps I haven't set those boundaries because I don't know, like, I haven't known what's for me, like, because I have been focused on other people. That's sometimes maybe a little bit of an avoidance strategy about myself, because maybe I'm a little bit indecisive. And what kind of I'm going through at the moment with my mum and her place to live is that she's a bit indecisive. I'm now a bit indecisive. And it's kind of like we're kind of feeding that together. And it's kind of making me not really look at, you talked about with, I think it was Cheryl, in regards to like triggers, like Cheryl was seeing it in her mum of, yeah, that was triggering her, and that made me think, oh, well, maybe that's part of it as well. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to practice moving forward? If you could make a shift around some of this, what do you want to be doing differently?
Working on what pleasure means to me, and actually putting it into practice.
Good.
And then just setting those little boundaries as I go along, to just give myself that little bit of space in between, trying to manage circumstances and all the rest of it. Yeah.
I'm just getting this feeling with you at work. For some reason, I just heard, stop being so nice. Like, if these people want to come and, like, offload onto you, like, just not. Like, I'm not interested. Like, this isn't my stuff. I feel like you're really nice and you're, like, listen along and be really friendly. But, you know, I remember doing this when I was working in offices. If people would come and start a negative story, I'd just be like, oh, sorry, I've got to go. Like, I'd just leave. I would get myself out of this. I'm like, I'm not going to sit for 10 minutes while you offload onto me. I've got to go. And I would just keep pulling myself out of the situation. And if you're no longer either feeding someone's drama or acknowledging their drama or listening to it, they're going to take it somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just give them, just be like, oh yeah, mm-hmm, cool. Yeah. Anyway, I've got to go. Like, I just cut it. Like, you just don't have to keep holding space for other people's crap.
Yeah.
And I just was also hearing the words like, yeah, not my stuff, not my stuff. Just keep, like, I would actually encourage you to say that to yourself. Like, this is not my stuff, not my stuff. Just keep affirming when and noticing the difference between someone else's stuff and your stuff. And when it's not your stuff, like, almost just like imagining yourself energetically, like, pushing it away and being like, not my stuff. Like, I don't even need to give another second of thought to this because it's not my stuff.
Yeah.
And the final piece with your mum is, I feel like you have the power to set the energetic tone of the relationship, and it's going to be on you to now set the new boundaries and new framework around how you're going to be relating to each other. And if she's in a state of uncertainty around stuff, rather than going into uncertainty too or feeding her uncertainty, you go into certainty. Step further into, this is what we're doing, I've made some decisions, here's the plan. Like, I just feel like you can really lead this and change the whole dynamic of the relationship through changing how you're being in it.
Yeah. I think the problem is, though, I'm a little bit uncertain as well, like, in my own thoughts about a few things.
Sure.
And then I feel like I'm not being as certain. Like, I don't know whether I'm kind of being influenced by other people or letting myself think about what other people might be thinking as well. Not that they're thinking it. It's just that I'm thinking they're thinking it.
And so we find certainty through tuning all of that out and tuning in and maybe spending some time with yourself to go through your own process of finding certainty in you and then bringing that to your mom. So if you notice that triggers uncertainty, then that's your work to then step away, process that, find the certainty again in yourself, and then situation.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Yeah. Thanks, Con. Yeah, it's awesome.
Ongoing work for you around this power and boundary stuff. I really feel that. Mm. Your family dynamic are a beautiful place to practice it.
Yeah, totally. And I have just definitely been expressing a lot more with family this week, which I haven't done as much of previously. So that's all unfolding as well. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Mm. Well done. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Carol. All right, my love, Paula, you've been on my mind the whole time. I'm like, I want to hear what's unfolding for you. So tell me what class two brought up for you, how you felt about class two and what you're wanting some support with.
So many things. I can tap into every lady's thoughts and something during their week. I have been, I guess, consciously thinking about my self-limiting beliefs from childhood. And I thought that once I delve into them, there would be something that would change, or you would feel or be different. But it's just an acceptance, and it's a conscious every time I'm in that, it's to say, no, that's not who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. I thought there would be a bit more around that, like, I don't know, some fireworks, some explosions.
Mm-hmm.
A big one is, I guess, I'm trying to help other people find their solutions and avoiding myself. And I can see their resistance now. And I think that awareness around their resistance is, I guess, is a trigger for me. Why can't they see that I'm trying to help them? Why aren't they on board? And now I'm in this, well, that's a resistance, back off, leave that alone. Hey, how about yourself? Focus on you. You haven't done actually anything other than in the physical sense to help yourself this week. Mm. I've done a bit of dancing. I've done a bit of, yeah, so massive week, lots of avoidance tactics around opening that book up. Sorry.
Mm, problems.
Yeah, but that's where I'm at this week.
Mm. So with the awareness around the old programming childhood stuff, and then feeling like that wasn't so much like some profound kind of fireworks experience, but it was more kind of like, did it still feel like a shift though? Has the awareness then still felt like, oh, now I could create something different to this? Or do you just feel like you're aware of it and now you're like, oh, now what?
I'm aware of it, and I think there was a recording you did, not the most recent one, about saying be proud of yourself. That really connected with me, and I'm really using that. But it's in and it's out. It's, oh, hang on, that doesn't exist anymore. So I'm in and I'm out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. What's an example? Give me one example of where this is playing out. Or what?
Probably similar to, I think it was Cheryl who left. I guess looking at my mum and the patternings of my life now. My mum never went back to work after me and my three sisters, I'm the youngest, and she has a victim mentality and probably depression there, and I can't help her with that, and I've accepted that, so I guess, not that I'm a victim, but I've been looking for that easy life, you know, and this is hard, and so my daily struggles get harder because of my headspace, instead of joyous. And so does that make sense? Like I'm looking for this, I can relax now, it's limit my work and just be.
That's what you're wanting to experience and feel?
I think that's what I have been looking for, whether that was, I definitely emulated what I watched growing up, my mother be to, when I was married. And he accepted that for a certain amount of time. And once I fell into that happiness state of relaxed, yeah, we're on that path to having children. I work a couple of days a week. Life's pretty good. I look after you. I do this, I do that. Then he got bored with that. And yes, I was happy with that at that stage, but now I'm aware of so many more things that I'm capable of.
Does that excite you when you start to think of the other things you're capable of?
It does, but then I talk to people about ideas, thoughts, and their resistance, whether it's to join me on that path or just their thoughts in general, that's a bad idea, that, you know, no. I ask people for their thoughts and it distracts me from what I'm capable of. So exactly. I'm in and I'm out.
Yeah, depending on who you're listening to, whether you're listening to yourself or you're listening to other people.
Yeah, and I don't forget, I pay people for their opinions.
You want to make sure their opinions that are really going to help you have what you want, right?
Well, I don't know who to trust anymore. You know, this week I've spoken with my accountant about a project, and they're. They give me that real analytical approach to it. Yes, if you do this, this could happen. If you do that, that could happen. So I find that extremely positive. But I guess the friendships that I choose, I guess they don't have the realization that they can, that it's achievable.
Get it. Yeah.
And then the other people are who I pay to work for me, who have to say yes, Paula, yes. So that I find difficult.
Oh, I just felt two different complete energies where you were like, yes, Paula, yes. Like, you make the decisions. You're clear on what you want. You're leading it. They're like, yes, support. Versus these other people that I just feel them weakening your energy because they're not bringing that to you. I just felt these two different complete versions of you there in each of those situations.
Welcome to my world.
Right. But this is an incredible demonstration and so clearly showing how we feel when we are really tuned into our truth, in our intuition. You've got inner insights, wisdom, guidance, ideas coming through from within you that are telling you what you want to do. They feel exciting. They feel good to you. And when you follow them and you have the right people supporting you, and you're obviously being practical about it and getting people's, you know, opinions, which is a valuable thing to do, you feel really solid in that when you're in that space. Now, it doesn't matter who these people are over here that we're asking their opinion of, whether they're our partner, our best friend, our mother, people who we probably really, really value. If at this stage, whatever they're saying is not supporting you, we need to take a break from asking them their opinion. Because I'm feeling that weaken and deplete you, and you can feel yourself flip-flopping between the two, right?
Yeah.
But this isn't, you know, all of you have experiences, and we've got power in these external forces, and we're allowing them to disconnect us from our own inner knowing and guidance. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to feel more powerful when we're really, really listening. How can anybody else know what is better for you than your own inner wisdom? And how could anyone else know what's better for you than what you feel is truth in your body when you feel the excitement and the readiness and the knowing of what you want to step into? No one can be more of an authority on that than you.
And that also brings me to another point in my childhood that I've sort of been tapping into is I was the youngest of three girls. When I look back at my memories, I feel like this, I have this hand over my mouth and I don't have a voice. And I guess the trust, I can feel the feelings that you're talking about, and it's powerful, and it's, but I'm always looking for that wrongness in it. The something's going to go wrong. Everything feels so good. Something's going to go wrong.
Is that true?
No. But there's something that just keeps me going back in and out of, I guess, not 100% trusting that.
So part of this practice will be witnessing that fear when that arises, right? And it's powerful. I get that. Oh. Where do I want to go with this? Is that, sorry, I'm getting pulled back to, is this linked to something with your past relationship? Is that linked to a key experience where that happened, where things were going well and then suddenly it all went wrong?
Yes. Yeah. I think there was, so happily married, just bought a house, kind of a naiveness in me, and then, you know, starting to make friendships in this new town, so to speak, and then so then I had a girlfriend who I was trying to make friends with in the circle, and I guess I'd stopped listening to myself, and I'd just gone over to her house, had a lovely cup of tea, telling her how, you know, our plans within that marriage in the next 2 years would be to have children, and invited her then over, and everyone was drinking. And she had a friend there as well. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, how do I get rid of these women? Like, I just want them to go away. And this was about 8 years ago, so I shouldn't call them women at that stage. So the girl, her friend needed to put some makeup on to go to a nightclub downtown. And I left my husband and her outside, and my inner instinct said, get your ass outside, girlfriend, something's going on. And lo and behold, they were kissing. Ultimately that was the interruption to the demise of our marriage. Mm-hmm. He couldn't accept that I couldn't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And stopped communicating. I moved back to my mum's house, which is 5 hours away, and was working in Sydney, and just eventually got over it.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Okay. I'm hearing two key things with this. One, I still feel that there's still some wounding around that. We don't necessarily want to have to go dig up the past, but I still feel like there's an anchoring of emotion in that experience that's pulling you back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that might just be in terms of, like, you may not need to go fully back into that, but maybe just journaling and exploring if there's anything that feels like it's unresolved around that experience that still needs some healing, that still needs to be processed, that's if there's any unresolved emotion around that for you. It just feels like a little bit of an anchor for me energetically. Yep. But the second thing I really want to say, and this is so important for all of you, is it's all about your intuition. And you just said it so beautifully, where your intuition did show you what you needed to see. Your intuition was looking out for you. It was a painful experience. It was a confronting experience, but your intuition had your back. Mm. And so any of these times that we're navigating, things could go wrong, everything could fall apart, this is a risk, my fear is that something bad's going to happen again, as long as we are in tune with our intuition, we will always be shown what we need to be shown. We will always be told what we need to be told. We will always be okay. It will always be okay. And I feel like I need to remind you the power of that incredible, I almost feel like this woman within you, this intuitive woman within you, who is always going to have your back and is always going to look out for you. And she is the woman you can trust. So even if you're moving forward into all this new stuff and the fear is, what if it all falls apart again? What if something terrible happens? Remind yourself, as long as you are listening every single day to that instinct, to that feeling, to any red flag, to anything that niggles at you, you're always going to be protected. You're always going to be safe. You're always going to be okay. That goes for every single thing all throughout our life. And that is, there's no more solid feeling in the world than that, knowing that we can fall back on that feeling and that guidance at any time. And it will always tell us if we're on track or off track, or if there's something we need to know.
Yeah, safety has really come up a lot for me.
And trust.
Yes.
We don't, how can we ever know if we can trust other people? All we can know is we've got to trust what we're feeling about what's going on. This is your gift, Paula.
I can feel that.
And as difficult as that experience was, you were so taken care of in that moment.
Yeah, she had my back.
Totally had goosebumps. Totally had your back. And she's going to continue to. She's the one that is giving you this vision now, saying this is what you're ready for, beautiful. And I'm going to carry you and guide you and support you through the whole thing if you'll just listen to me and stop giving so much power to all these other people.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
So we just need to keep coming back to her time and time again. Like I said, we will disconnect naturally, but we'll feel the discord of what it feels like. We'll feel the weakness, the powerlessness, the confusion when we disconnect from her. Then we come back to her and then we're like, oh, there she is again. What is she telling me? Who is she telling me to talk to? Who is she telling me to get advice from? Is she telling me to stop talking to everyone and just listen in some more? What step is she telling me to take? I can trust her. I know I can trust her.
Yeah, and I have trusted people over her. So, yeah, that's...
And that's exactly where we go wrong.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you.
Really powerful. Really, really powerful.
Extremely.
Because then sometimes we can become a victim sometimes and say, but life brought me this terrible experience. But if we were really, really honest... Where did we disconnect from our guidance and stop listening at some point along the way? And that's when things unraveled. Mm. I've done that in numerous relationships where I didn't want to hear what it had to say. So I just put the little like, I'm like, oh, no, 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 everything's fine. And then shit blew up in my face. Because she was trying to guide me out of there 6 months earlier and I didn't listen, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really powerful. And I can feel the strength. You're a strong woman. The strength you have to navigate anything, handle anything, create whatever you want to create when you're in connection with her.
Mm.
Can you feel that?
I can. I just need to commit to that trust. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I can definitely work on.
Beautiful. Good. Does everyone else feel that they would value from connecting with that trust within themselves too and that relationship with that woman within them? Yeah. Yeah. Really, really powerful. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just as a final little wrap up, I'm just going to touch on the couple of notes that I have from the other women, but I feel like it's all been answered. Because Jade was bringing up, and I almost brought it up before, but I'll bring it up now, the exact same thing that she's been struggling with around being away from her partner and her relationship. She shared in her introduction video in the group her story, which was so, so powerful, that she's been finding that as she's away traveling from work, all of this fear, this old wound, these old patternings are getting triggered again. And she said so beautifully in her notes to me, and this is why what you've expressed, Paula, is so tied into this so beautifully. She said, all of this pain was coming up and she, this is quite a few notes. I think she tuned into her intuition to get a step around what she should do. And she said, this is the first time I understood the difference between my fears and my intuition. I had this deep inner knowing that I had to withdraw from all the outside noise and guidance and try something new. So I got this guidance to lay in bed, to listen to music, to visualize the blessings I want in my future. And it really helped me wake up feeling better every day. I couldn't explain where this guidance came from, but it's good to identify now because it feels so different to the guidance that comes from my anxiety. And so she was just asking around this, around what do we sort of do when this stuff gets activated? And it's exactly this. She's like, how do I know if this person's going to hurt me? How do I know if, you know, these fears are going to manifest again? You keep coming back to that wise woman within, that woman that will be guiding you and telling you if something's off, telling you if you need to have a conversation, if you need to go somewhere, if you need to act on something. And asking her actually, what can I do in this moment to support myself through what is arising? And Jade's example was so beautiful, where that woman was just like, go and sit in bed and journal and listen to music and do this. And she will always give you something in that moment that will support you through what you're feeling, if you're willing to find her energy and ask her, and ask her for guidance and ask her what you should do. And Jade was also saying here that what she's been experiencing is she actually feels quite good about herself in terms of self-love. And sometimes she feels this power like, well, if someone was to hurt me, then F them. I don't need them anyway. That's sort of what she'd said. So on some level, she has that strength and confidence within herself, but she also gets so anxious about losing the love of her partner. But what I thought was really, really powerful here I think you can still be deeply self-loving and confident and empowered in yourself and still have old wounds activated. And that doesn't actually mean that you're not self-loving, and it doesn't mean that you're weak, and it doesn't mean that you're not empowered and would be okay without that person. It just means you're a vulnerable, sensitive woman who deeply cares and loves. And it is so natural and normal to fear losing things that are super important to you. That's the vulnerability of love. That's the vulnerability of caring. That's the vulnerability of being in relationship. And we close off to this vulnerability. We say, I don't want to feel the sensitivity of being afraid and of being anxious. And yes, we need to know how to support ourselves through that, because no one just wants to sit in anxiety. But actually, it's what it means to live with a big, wide, open, sensitive heart. It's what it means to love. Any one of you who are a parent will know the vulnerability and fear you feel of caring so deeply about this little being that there would be absolute terror of anything happening to them. And that's a daily feeling of vulnerability that anyone who deeply loves and cares about anything, you know, that's our experience of being human and being a woman. And we close off to that because it's so intense. So I would actually say, you know, this is something I'm learning, is not going into the self-protective pattern of, yeah, well, F you, if I didn't have you, I'd be fine, even though that's one way of handling it, but actually being like, oh my God, let me feel the rawness of my own heart, of how much I love and care about this, whether it's my business I want to build, this person in my life, my child, my family member, whatever it is. To love is to be vulnerable. To love is to make yourself open to the deepest possible pain in the world. Like when I lost my father, the death of a family member, the greatest pain you can feel. But I wouldn't want to close off to that pain, because it means I also deeply loved at the same time. So yes, we don't want to live in a state of anxiety of constantly fearing losing these things, and we want to be learning how to support ourselves through it. But I also feel like this is what it means to love, and this is what it means to drop the armor of our hearts and deeply care about things. So I actually feel like it's kind of it's something that as a woman we want to honor and value, just the depth of our love and how deeply we care about things. That's just a couple of things I wanted to say to Jade, because I know I've done that in the past where I'm like, oh yeah, cool, whatever. If I lost this, I wouldn't even care. I'd be fine. I'm strong. I love myself. And like I said, that's a beautiful approach, but sometimes it's self-protective, and sometimes it actually prevents us just feeling the rawness of how deeply we value and cherish something in our lives, which naturally will make us vulnerable. And as women, I think we need to embrace the vulnerability more rather than closing off to it. So that's one thing I wanted to mention there. And just finally as well, to Michelle's point, because Michelle sent something through around, she said, I completely agree that we are all pure, unconditional love. That is, you know, hidden beneath these layers of negative thinking. And I have to say, I loved what Carol said about watching those layers peel off, the visualization, then putting in new affirmations. I would listen back to that thing that Carol said and work on that, because I was like, that is a powerful practice. But Michelle said, you know, I'm aware that there's these layers of negative thinking and beliefs. She said, I just don't understand why I'm holding on to them. I don't know what the payoff is for me to continually do it. And I guess I just believe them because they come from these people who are meant to love me. So I believe them as being the truth. And we know that she's off doing some intensive work at Ancestral Healing Workshop this weekend, which is powerful. I feel really like she's been guided to that for a reason. But when we sit with what is the payoff for me to continually run this story about myself, it goes back to almost what I was saying. I think, Carol, you and I were talking about it, and also it was coming up for a few of you. If that wasn't there, like legitimately, if that was gone, erased, if that no longer consumed any space, these stories about you being unlovable, unworthy, if you can actually feel how powerful you would be, how much you would no longer be held back by anything to either be out in the world creating what you want to create, being visible, experiencing as much joy as you really want to experience, we actually realize that we are scared of our power, of who we would become, of how magnificent we would be, of how much joy we would feel, of how much we are afraid of what we would be capable of. We are afraid of what we could experience. And we're so, it's almost like there's a story, an example of like an elephant that's chained to a little stake in the ground by this chain. And I mean, the elephant literally could walk and pull that little stake out of the ground and walk away, but it doesn't. Because it's been trained that it's chained to this thing. I think what they do is they start by anchoring it into a pole, and it learns it can't move, and then eventually they just replace it with something really small. And the elephant could walk off at any time, but it's so programmed into thinking that it's stuck and it doesn't have the power just to walk off and leave that behind. We become so used to feeling so small and stuck and limited that it is scary and foreign and unfamiliar to not be like that, and to be big and to be bright and to be powerful. So that's what the payoff always is. We are terrified of our own power and our own magnificence. And even though it's painful, we would rather stay small and stuck because it's a lot safer. So I would almost encourage Michelle here and anyone else who's processing this type of stuff to really begin to journal about what, and you don't have to step into it right now if it's too scary, but actually what would be possible, what would open up, what would life look like or feel like if this no longer existed, if these old stories about yourself, these old patterns no longer existed. That might take a bit of work even to imagine that. But really start to open up and be like, oh my goodness, there's actually something massive here that would be available for me. And notice how you feel in relationship to it. I would just put that as a bit of a journaling exercise to see what would open up if these things were no longer there for you. But I feel like Michelle will already get some realizations from listening to what we've talked about today. So I am over time as usual. But are there any final thoughts, even on what I was just talking about for Jade or Michelle there, anything that anyone wants to share as part of just completing the session today? Nothing additional? All right, loves, one word from each of you around how you're feeling as we're wrapping up the session today. Carol.
As you were talking, I just felt like trusting the jump a little bit more.
Beautiful.
Just thoughts out the head, just do a bit of a jump.
Beautiful. Thank you. Jennifer.
Grounded. I feel really grounded right now.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm glad. Really nice when we have this energy anchored down. It feels like it's actually grounded. Beautiful. Yeah. Paula.
Sad. Not in a negative way, though, that I haven't listened to myself, that I've taken those thoughts and those perceptions too far on board. So I feel sad that I get to let that go now. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does to me.
Yeah, beautiful. Keep processing that sadness because that's a really powerful catalyst for change when you really get the impact that that it's having on you when we sometimes are in these old ways. Beautiful. Keep processing that, and I feel like something new will open up from there for you. Thank you for your vulnerability today.
Yep. Thank you.
Jackie.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, ladies.
Thank you. Jackie, how are you?
Yeah. So I quickly Googled what's a word for feeling really peaceful but really powerful, and there isn't one. I can't find one. I keep looking.
Beautiful. We can kind of, it can be peaceful and powerful at the same time. You can have both of those words, but I love that combination. Really beautiful combination. Thank you, women, for your honesty, your sharing, your vulnerability, your courage, your authenticity, your realness, all of it. Just love what you're bringing to this, and love how you're all, I can see you all gaining so much from each other's experience. So thank you for sharing today.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Many of
Thanks,
you
guys.
Up. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we will talk again soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.